Okay, I have here two shmuzim. The first shmuz, those who are v'kiyim in chidush yaleiv, this is Rosh Hashiva shmuz, which I think is an extremely, extremely yisaitis like a shmuz. I happen to like this shmuz very much. I think it's very yisaitisic. And however, you can't just say Rosh Hashiva shmuz, that's you're not yaitzi, it's against the rules. So I have my own shmuz, which is, I think the two shmuzim, there's a line in the middle. It's like two sides of the same coin. So one's one side, one's the other side. They sort of go together. Okay, but let's first say there's Shiva Shmuz. Shiva Shmuz is, just to say, try and say it quickly, so because it's two shmuzim, and we don't have time. So Shiva said there's a pasuk in that after the, it says that the Klai Yisrael, when they heard that Hashem said that they're going to go ahead, and instead of having, after the Chet HaEgel, Hashem said to Moshe that he's no longer going to have the same degree of Hashgacha Pratis with Klai Yisrael, or whatever exactly, we don't know exactly the difference was supposed to be, but instead there will be a Malach. Moshe was Mispada, and eventually they got rid of that, they changed it. But at some point there was supposed to be that there'll be a Malach being running with Hashgacha and Klai Yisrael. So the Klai Yisrael are very upset, Rashi, the Abag says. And because of that, they took off their crowns. So what is that crown? So the simple pshat is a physical crown, but he's earned it's metaphorical. It's not, it wasn't a crown, but it's the crown of Torah. It means that when you have Torah, you behave in a certain royal manner. And they took off their crown of Torah, which means they stopped behaving following the Torah. Which means it's just read it inside. It starts, I read the whole thing, because Shoshamo Amdavarazem, when they heard this bad thing, Hussar Hashkoch Hashem Yisamehem, that Hashem will not have the same Hashkocha as they were hoping. His Avo Mashanifkehem, they were sad for what they lost. But also, so each other, but of that's a Pasuk. Achshav, so I think, means it's Rabbah speaking, Sharotzim is that what the Torah means to say, Ha'edi, these crowns, Shenotem Yad Torah, who Amnimis HaTorah. It doesn't mean a physical crown, it means the Torah's proper behavior. Nimus is mannerism. The Torah mannerisms, which is crown of honor for a person when he acts in the Torah, they go away. It's a form of glory for a person who does it. So they stopped acting in the Torah, they go away. They got rid of the crown of Torah that they got at Har Sinai. Ki'ido, as if, as if they threw off the Ola Torah. Tasibo, I said, why they do this? They've got a Hatacha that Hashem's going to be Dovik Behem. When they saw they're not going to get this goal that they were so excited about, then the Torah is worthless. Okay. So Rashiva said, made a diak. This was the second rebellion. So the Shiva made a diak that Mary Shani means that it's like on par with the first. If the first of Mary, which was the Cheta Ego, was some terrible Aveira, and this is some Daki Dakis comparative, then you wouldn't say Zaya Mary Shani. So Mary Shani means that the first Chet was a very serious Chet, and this was equivalent, parallel, the same level. So we're talking about a very, very serious Aveira. That's the way he describes it also. They stopped being Jewish, so to speak. They stopped acting in a Torah-digger manner. What motivated this horrible Aveira? Because they felt, what's the point? We lost the Hashkocha that we had. So therefore, he says, Dimo Shem Toelza HaMitara, so the Torah is worthless. So she had a very obvious kasha, that it's not like they were given, they had nothing. It's like a person has $1 million and you lose $100,000, you lose $50,000. They still had all the mitzvahs. I mean, the biggest proof that they didn't lose so much is because Klai Yisrael till today is what remained after the Chet HaEgel. Obviously, we still believe we have something. So then this is a few thousand years later. This is obviously after the Chet HaEgel, we had all the Nevi'im, and we had, so there was obviously Klai Yisrael with the Chet HaEgel. We're not so terrible loss There was still tremendous hashgacha pratis and nisim, and there were nisim in the midbar, and the anane kavin, and the man, and the learning Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's so many things they had. But they didn't have the ultimate level, they didn't have. So Rashi's kasha was that logically it makes no sense. If a person it thinks he's going to make it, have $1 million, $100 million, and he loses a little bit, so then you throw the whole thing away. If I care, if you value what you have, then you keep it. You know, I had $1 million, I value it so much. So if I value it so much, then if I have a little less, I make sure not to, I lost a little bit, I should make sure not to lose any more. And you know, the fact that you lost some should make you be more careful. But he said, apparently the human nature is that when a person puts his focus on one so much something, that even when you lose it a little bit, the rest becomes worthless. It's like the mashal that we always give. It's a common example. Is a kid who comes home and there's two children and the mother has one cupcake and she's going to cut the cupcake in half and each kid's going to get half a cupcake. And they're so excited. It's a delicious cupcake with frosting, whatever. The mother cuts the cupcake in half, and of course, one kid decides that one half is bigger. Not necessarily that it is, but it says, I want that half. He says, no, I want that half, right? Now, they're really almost exactly the same. Let's say take for granted that one half is microscopically bigger than the other, right? Okay, so they're finding out who gets the bigger half. So the mother gives the bigger half to one, and what does the other kid do with his half? Throws it in the garbage. Yeah, makes no sense. The whole reason why you're so upset is because you love the cupcake. You lost a microscopic little bit, so why you throw out the whole cupcake? Because that's human nature. When you get upset that you lost something that you were so valuable, you were focusing on the beauty of the value, so anything less than what you wanted is worthless. So you throw it in the garbage. So that's what happened over here. Klal Yisrael were focused on this tremendously high madrega of Ruchnius that they were going to get before the Chet HaEgel, which was a tremendous madrega. They lost it. You know, they lost that super, super high madrega. Now they still had a madrega, not that level, but almost that level. But with the human nature is when you focus on such a high level and you lose it, so whatever you have less is, it's not worth anything. And therefore they threw in the garbage and they went ahead and did a merry shiny. That's Shah the Chazal. So the Rishiva Shmuz is a chiddush in that this human nature, that when you focus on a tremendous goal and you don't get it, then you're liable to feel that what's remaining is not worth anything. Why is this such an important shmuz? I want to get to the mask, I want to get to the next shmuz too. It's the application is extremely important. Because basically there's an attitude in the world, which is true, and it makes sense. But if you're doing Aveira, what are you supposed to do? The first thing is Charata, right? And we know Tshuva, main result of Tshuva is Charata. That's the first step. First, you got to feel bad what you did. Then when you feel bad, then you'll be able to do Tshuva, then you'll be able to do Kabbalah Osid. So the first thing, you got to get yourself really feeling bad. But you see from over here that very often feeling charata is counterproductive. Charata, we think that making yourself feel bad, now I'm going to be more careful. Oh, I lost the first 100,000. I feel so terrible, so I'll be more careful. Make sure you be careful. Don't do that ever again. You know how terrible what you did. It was such a terrible thing. You make sure you don't do it again. But the human nature is very often the other way. That when you get enough charata that it was so terrible, then there's no point to be careful anymore because it's lost. That's it. I'll never be a ben Torah. I'll never make it. I'll never make the goal that I set for myself. So there's no point to try anymore. So I might as well just quit and go to college or do whatever I want. You know, drop out of yeshiva, drop out of the religion. So what the chiddush of the shmuz is on a practical sense, besides the keiches hanefesh, which is a nice to hear, but it's a practical shmuz, is that we're walking a tightrope. That on one hand, of course, you need charata, you're doing aveira. If you don't have charata, you just do it again. So of course a person has to have charata, but too much charata is very, very unhealthy. I know Rav Oba writes in one of his letters that a person who's, let's say, he's nichshon in a certain chayt at night, a certain hirurim or zarevat or whatever, he says what he should do is, he comes in the morning, he says, Slach lanu, he should say, mention the Aveira, and then forgive me, and then he should forget about it till Rosh Hashanah. That's what Rav Oba says. You come say, Slach lanu, you mention Vide on the Aveira, you did your tshuva, okay, finish. You put it on your list for Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah, you can come back and say Slach lanu again. But from here to Rosh Hashanah, you have to move forward. And he's very strong about Rav Oba, because too much charata, people become overwhelmed with charata, then instead of focusing on what they have, they become focused on what they don't have. And then they quit, they become depressed. I'm no good, I'm not making it, what's the point? So he says, okay, a little charata, yes. You go ahead, you feel a little bad, you make a commitment, you're going to try harder, no more. You say your slach lanu, and finish, move on. And that was Rosh Yeshiva Shmuz, a very extremely excited Shmuz. Okay. I want now the other side of the coin, because I think they go together. And we have a pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, "Im no matzasi chen beinecha hodiani noaster achecha ve'idoro leman emso chen beinecha." Okay, we'll stop there in the middle of the pasuk. So Rashi says, second Rashi, it's very hard to know the pasuk. Ve'idoro leman emso chen beinecha. Let's say Rashi. Sorry, skip the Rashi. Atim emesh matzasi chen beinecha. If I really found favor in your eyes. Well, the ani noz terachecha. Now, what's tell me Hashem ways? Mas kar atenos in motzechein beinecha. Tell me the reward you give to people who do mitzvahs, and that's what pashas. That's the psukim, because Hashem says Hashem Hashem. This is the reward for the midas harachmim. So this is Moshe is asking. Tell me the reward you give to people who do chein, that people that you love, that you favor. Why do I want to know? The Eida the man emsochein beinecha. So Rashi says the Eida bezu. I'll know through this. If you tell me how much reward you give, I'll understand midas tagmulecha. I'll understand your mida of pain. Mata mahi misias chein shematzati ifanecha. I'll know what the result of the fact that I have chein in your eyes is. Who pisron and the explanation of the man. Emsochein is leman akir, kamas karmas yischein. So Rashi, I'm not sure if he's sticking in the word of akir, or he's saying that's what emso means, or emso means metzias chein. I'm not sure, because it sounds like he's sticking in the word akir. So he's saying, read the pasuk like this: Im no matzasi chein beinecha, hodeni noas drachecha. Tell me your ways, how much reward you're going to give me. After note saying to people. You know, there's who find chaim. That's me. You said I find chaim. So tell me how much reward you give to people like myself who find chaim in your eyes. So, and I'll know, this way I'll know your way of reward. And I'll know the Eda, the man, in order, and then there's a word Rashi seems to stick in order that I'll know what it means when someone finds chen in Hashem's eyes. Okay, so Rashi is very ambiguous, not clear. He doesn't really spell out exactly why Moshe wants to know this. Doesn't really say. He just says, Moshe is saying, please inform me what it means, what the reward is, so this way I will understand what it means to find chen. Okay, so I don't know. Not sure. The Orachayim apparently argued with Rashi. So I'm not saying it's Shmuel than Rashi. I'm saying the Orachayim. And he does not stick in the word Naman Aker. And he reads the pasuk slightly different, very close, but slightly different. It's saying, he reads it as follows. V'atim no matzasi chen beinecha, same as Rashi. If I found favor in your eyes, holdeini no atrachecha, tell me your way, how much reward you give to people like myself who find chaim, the Eidah, and I'll know it. Why? The man, in order, So Rashi says, in order that I should know, and he says, in order that I will find favor in your eyes. Not that I should know. Now the question is, it's circular. He says, if I found favor in your eyes, so tell me the reward that you give to people who find favor, so that I can find favor. Well, I'm already found favor. So the Orach Chaim says it means that I'll continue to find favor. It means that I'll continue. If I know what the reward is, so then I'm going to be motivated to continue to do mitzvahs. That's how he's learning. Pirish. I'll read the Orach Chaim. Mitzach emia musar lomar eben adaino. It's not the way Rashi seems to say it. It's not musardik. He's down the Eved says, Master, I want to understand you. The man Eda, so I should know. What do you want to know? It's none of your business, so to speak. The Zeg Gomar, Omar, the man, there's a purpose I want to know. I don't understand what I know. Pirish Kadesh Nasan Hogi Yashari Bitsmidas. I want to be all the time. Tomid. I'll always have chain. Hamuzik Bene Hashem. So he's saying like this. If I have, at this point, found chen in your eyes, tell me the reward that you give to people who do mitzvahs, the Edo, and I'll know it. The man, why is it so important that I should know how much reward you give? The man, so that in the future I should also find chen in your eyes. Okay. I think that's an amazing Rashi, Orach Chaim. Because we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, obviously, first of all, already even without this, I'm sure he understood how much scar Hashem gives. Apparently, he didn't know fully. He's asking Hashem to tell him more. But even before Hashem tells him this, he was already at Har Sinai. He's a pretty smart man, right? I mean, smart from brain. But he's at Har Sinai for 40 days. Moshe Rabbeinu already understands, he knows the Messiah Sharim, that the purpose of the creation was to get the Dvekis Hashem. I'm sure all that he knew 50 times over. So he knows tremendous chard that you get from Nimsachem. Apparently, he didn't know it fully. He's asking Hashem, tell me more. Tell me more. Why does he need more? The man, in order that I should do, that I should continue to find chen. And if you don't know more, you're not going to continue to find chen. Hey, aren't you Moshe Rabbeinu? Don't Moshe Rabbeinu do mitzvahs shalom and asakabo pras? Right? Moshe Rabbeinu does mitzvahs not for his car. So even if you want, first of all, you already know it's $100 million. You can say, now it's not $100 million, it's $200 million. But $100 million is also enough. No, it's not enough to motivate you. Second of all, you're supposed to be motivated by Avos Hashem, not because you want pras. But yet the Orach Chaim is saying that Moshe felt it was important that he should know more how much reward, because that way I'll be better. I'll have more chaim. Which means that's almost the opposite side of the Reshiva Shmuz. The Reshiva Shmuz is that how dangerous it is sometimes to focus on charata. Too much charata is dangerous. The other shmuz, the opposite side, is there's no such thing as too much appreciation and simcha on the schar. We might think that, you know, listen, you focus so much on the schar, it's not good. It's too much, you know. You're supposed to be the Shem Shemayim, and Avos Hashem, you know. Don't do focus on the schar, okay? Okay, a little bit, you know, the schar make you a little happy, but okay. But what Moshe is saying, I already know, of course I know a tremendous amount of schar, but I want to know more. Because you never know, sometime or another, I'll need that added push, that added motivation to do the mitzvahs. Maybe I'll do them anyway, but I'll do it more shleimis, more zrizis, more simcha. So the more I know how much schar, if it's instead of knowing there's 100 million, it's 200 million, it's 600 million, whatever it is, so I'll be more mizares, so then I'll be always able to be. So even Moshe Rabbeinu, the more he appreciates his car, the better it is. So it's like it's a two halves. On one hand, we have to be careful not to focus on the negative, because you focus too much on the negative, we get down, we get unhappy, and then we're liable to quit. And we should focus as much as we can on how much car there is. If Madach Moshe Rabbeinu, who obviously knew 100,000 times more than us, how much scar there is. He had to come and make a special bakasha from Hashem. Hashem, tell me how much scar there is. I want to know. It's important. It's a special bakasha. I assume he had, I don't want to say he had nothing else to ask Hashem, but this was so important. Right? And the reason he says it is because this is what's going to help me to do more mitzvahs. So surely it means that we have to be able to focus and to work on and to read Musar Svarim and to learn about the Schar. Go read over the first parak of Mitzvah Sharim about that that this is a Hanoah Amiti v'itin agadah mikoy dan shechoni motze, you know, and that yofesh shoachas v'oidam haba mikoy hanos am hazeh. And we go ahead, and the more we hear the tremendous reward that there is for the mitzvahs, you can say, well, I know enough. No, there's never enough. The more you hear, the more we're focused on, we hear more of this schar, doesn't mean you're supposed to do mitzvahs because I can do mitzvahs because of avos too. But at the same time, the knowledge of the schar is very helpful. It's not a stira. You can do mitzvahs for two reasons. I have a Moshe Rabbeinu is doing the mitzvah shalom and asa pravo pras. But the added knowledge of the schar will guarantee me that even when I have difficulty in this yainus, it'll guarantee me the tzmidas, it'll guarantee me to be overcome the whatever in this yainus we might be, and that, so that it helps give the happiness, so that focusing on this schar is extremely important. So just there for the summary, is on one hand, Rashiva's point was that as much as we definitely told of charatan averis, but it has to be done with great, great care, with limit, because you have too much charata, you're liable to quit. And on the other hand, as much as we hold that you're supposed to really do mitzvahs, you know, shalom and asa gabo pras, but there's almost endless how much knowledge we should have of this char of the mitzvahs, because that gives us a ziris to be able to do them with greater simcha and more consistently.
I don't know. It's not a Sabbath to say that the Gemara.